The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to start today with the reference that Jesus makes in the gospel when he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Let's reflect for a moment on what the situation was with the Israelites in the desert when that serpent went up on the pole. If we go 25 years or 30 years before that moment, we know the story. It's a very familiar story about how the child Moses was sent down the river in a basket by his mother, where he was discovered by one of the princesses of the palace in Egypt. Why was it that she was sending him down the river? Because the Pharaoh had decreed that all male children of the Israelites would be killed. Now, I'd like you to put that into a modern-day context. We've got these examples of genocide in many places in the world, but this was clearly an attempt for Pharaoh to do away with the Israelite people altogether. It was a terrible thing that if there were no male Israelites, that then the Egyptians would start to change the culture of the Israelites into something Egyptian, and that their culture would be lost. Their relationship, their covenant with Abraham would be lost. So this is a terrible threat to the identity of the people of God. So when the time comes and they're in Egypt and Moses delivers them across the Red Sea into the desert, their lives were literally saved. Their people were saved. And all of a sudden, the people started grumbling. They started complaining. They started saying, "Well, we should have stayed. Freedom isn't that important, is it? We should have stayed where we were. At least we had something to eat. Why aren't we back there? God, why did you do this to us?" Their complaint was a dissatisfaction, an ingratitude. Actually, I mean, if they had completely forgotten the fact that God had delivered them from death so that they could live, and not only that, but live in a new way with a law and a covenant of Moses that was a deeper understanding of who God was and who they were in relationship with him. But they could only see the fact that life is hard, and they started to blame God. So what does God do? God says to tell Moses, tell Aaron to make a serpent. Well, what happened was all these snakes started to come into the camp. The snakes were biting the people and they were dying from it. Think in terms of virus right now. The snakes were coming into the camp. They were biting the people were dying. But the snakes were actually their complaints come to kind of a physical form. There was their ingratitude, their dissatisfaction, their blaming God for not getting what they wanted, even though God had given them life and saved their lives. So Moses tells Aaron, on God's instruction, to make a serpent out of bronze, put it up on a pole, so that everybody, every time somebody sees that serpent, they will recognize the reality that's in their hearts. And in that realization, find conversion. Find reconciliation, realizing the guilt of what they were doing, how they had completely forgotten what God had done for them. They no longer even recognize their own sins, and God reveals their hearts. Fast forward, Jesus says, just as the serpent went up on the pole in the desert, so will the Son of Man go up on the cross, so that every time you look at that, you see what your sin looks like. Now, I know I've said this many times in homilies. You might look at that and say, oh, that's really a beautiful crucifix, isn't it? But that's just because we've kind of gotten used to the image. What happened on that cross was horrible. It was a kind of attempt to eradicate the covenant, to do away with this new work that God was doing with his people in Jesus Christ. And this attempt to somehow put a stop to what was happening. To put this into context of our modern day, we might find ourselves in the desert right now, and I've used this image throughout the season of Lent. Think about Lent as a desert. This desert of Lent has been going on for a full year. Okay? And it's so easy for us to start complaining and blaming God and being ungrateful for what we have, unable to see the good that's happening all around us during this time. I actually had the opportunity to get together with some friends last night, because we've all been vaccinated. I had dinner at somebody's house with another couple, two couples and myself. We didn't wear masks, because you don't have to now if you have a dinner among people who are all vaccinated. To be able to sit and have a meal with friends that I have not had an indoor meal with another person in a year, because I've been trying to keep everybody safe here in the parish. A year. So I was able to get together last night with these friends, and the first thing we said was how much more we appreciate friendship now than we ever did before, even though we're good friends, because we really have had a restriction on the expression of that friendship, haven't we? How many stories do you hear now about grandparents who can finally see their grandchildren and hug them? Or people who are in institutions for the elderly or nursing homes, and they haven't seen their parents in a year. How much more, I hope, we'll be able to appreciate the gift that we have in those relationships. But somebody's got to reveal to us what is in our hearts, and we've got to think about this. That's what Lent is about, isn't it? It's about preparing ourselves to get rid of the serpents that are biting us on all sides, to look at Christ, to say, okay, that's really not the solution. That was what Jesus did so that we might have life. We find ourselves now in this season of Lent really relishing, I think, and celebrating the goodness that is in the center of all that we know. That's why on this Sunday we wear the color rose, because rose is the color of joy. In the middle of all suffering, there is great joy. And I can only use the best example that I can think of is Jesus on the cross, who at that moment was in the deepest desert, the greatest suffering, abandonment, self-emptying love, even to that experience of being estranged from the Father. My God, why have you abandoned me? And yet, in the middle of all that, he knew that his purpose was being accomplished, that his mission was being fulfilled, and that brought him the fullness of joy. Joy and sadness are completely different things. Joy is what is allowed to remain, to endure through it all. And that's what I challenge you today to find. In whatever circumstance you are, wherever you are, whatever it might be, pause for a moment and just find just the smallest amount of joy in the middle of what we're doing. And it'll give us the energy to go forward and finally bring to fulfillment whatever this is right now. We'll find ourselves back together and being able to embrace and to even to shake hands. I think we might even shake hands again. Do you think? Who knows? We'll all carry our hand sanitizer anyway, but I think we'll probably start shaking hands again. But anyway, I think that was the message today that I wanted to give. Everything is an opportunity for joy if we just look for it.